It's time for a brand new episode of Plan Better!
Flip it bizarre!
Leaving!
Sorry, but I've got terrible sinus drainage. Alright. Today on the show, the first two episodes of The Flash on the CW. The Flash, Born to Run, the initial entry in Mark Waid's seminal Flash run. How many times can I say Flash in the beginning of this episode?
And run, Flash, run.
We do a little catch-up with James Robinson's Fantastic Four. And we wrap things up with the next installment of Multiversity.
Yeah.
Abracadabra, I'm your host, Richard. Murdering a whole slew of crocodiles, or was it alligators? It's Jason!
Gators. Them gators.
He's learned every episode or every lesson in Iron Monroe's physical training regimen except the atomic fist of death. It's Michael.
Oh, my morals.
The doc, my principles.
And spilling the blood of this, having spilled the blood of an immortal man, he has awoken the ancient Aztec god, Nezucan. It's Chris.
Ha-ha! Maybe that'll happen.
There's always this summer.
Maybe when I'm not so busy.
Gotta do something on break.
Hey everybody, you've heard me talk about it in the last couple of weeks, but please be sure to check out Max Toys and Games. If you get a chance to actually come down to Corbin, Kentucky, be sure to let me know about it, and I'll actually come out and visit you. Kind enough to sponsor us on a lot of our comic book endeavors and reviews for the show. You can follow them on Twitter and Facebook. For both of them, be sure to look them up. They do have great deals and specials. Once again, Max Toys and Games, a big sponsor of Plan Banter. Be sure to check it out.
Before we get to comics, guys, let's talk about the CW's most exciting new fall show, The Flash. Don't everyone jump at once.
Well, because I might as well
don't run to any conclusions.
I'm gonna go ahead and jump in front of the car here. I like it. I don't love it. I'll be perfectly honest. I like it with less work than it takes me to like the Shield.
You like it better than Shield?
I do.
Do you like Arrow?
I have only ever seen the first season of Arrow.
Okay.
So
you are currently cosplaying as Arrow at the moment.
Yes.
It was Dominic or whatever from Assassin's Creed.
But Desmond.
Desmond. There we go.
But I enjoyed the Flash. It's corny as hell. I mean, I'm not going to deny it's corny as hell. He should have as many times as they told him to run, his name should have been Forrest.
Let's fit Forrest a Allen. Run reference in as many times as possible. Run, Barry, run!
It was fun. I did not realize that the younger guy that's part of his team was Vibe.
Right,
but that's
Vibe.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Who
exactly?
Vibe was part of an '80s Justice League. The Detroit Justice League.
They recently tried to make him happen
in New 52. Yeah, series. Oh man, didn't they?
I don't think it took though.
It never has and never will.
I never heard anybody mention this, but I noticed like whenever he was going through the Star Labs, there was a giant cage that had Grodd written on it that was busted open.
Richard had mentioned it.
What?
Grodd
cage.
Oh, how that's the most obvious fucking telegraph piece of stupidity I've ever seen.
That's so stupid.
Like, I know that Captain America's shield is an Iron Man 2, and that's a fun thing to point out. Like, if you miss this, then you're blind.
Well, but then, okay, here's the thing, though, is, like, watching it with Carrie, for example, who knows nothing of the Flash mythology, it made her question, what's the deal with Grodd?
What is the appeal of this? I have to know. It's not communicating it properly.
I'm interested.
Yeah, I didn't know who it was.
He's a big telepathic monkey. He was on Justice League.
Oh yeah,
voice he by is powers? A super Ooh. Smart. He's a super smart ape that is bloodthirsty, as well as super smart. And I love Gorilla Grodd to death. He's one of my favorite comic characters.
One of my favorite Powers Booth performances.
Oh, right. Okay. Neat. Yeah. He's, yes, yes, yes.
But,
have you watched both episodes?
Yeah, I watched both. I believe you did too, Jace.
Oh, I'm going to watch this whole season.
Really?
I have to. I just have to do it now. I have to.
This must be like what you think when I talk about still watching S.H.I.E.L.D.
This is it. Yes, because I just S.H.I.E.L.D. is just boring as fuck to me. Like, I'm just bored watching it. Flash is kind of boring, but I just have to know what the fuck they're going to do this season because it is just a fucking mess. The show is a mess. I have to watch it.
I don't think it's like a train wreck.
No, I don't think it's a train wreck. It's a mess.
For what it is, I don't think it's good.
Yeah.
At all. Like, it's the way Horseshoe described it to me was like, it's all right. And I'm like, you don't like it as much as Arrow? And he's like, no, not nearly as much. Like, it's very cheesy.
Well, yeah, so, but at the same time, I mean, nobody really liked Arrow that much until the end of season one.
That's pretty true. Most people didn't really talk
about
Arrow.
And then season two is when Arrow exploded in popularity.
Yeah, because everyone...
I heard that it got shitty in the second season.
No, it depends on what you watched Arrow for. If you watched Arrow to watch Stephen Amell just kill people, then, yeah, season two was shitty. Because
season two is where it got good.
That's all he did in the first season was kill people. And then in the second season, it's like... You know, I don't really think I want to be an Arrow-themed murderer for the rest of my life.
And then
that's where Black Canary shows up. That's where they start fleshing out.
No. Canary.
Well.
Oh, she's not Black Canary?
Because
he's not Green
Arrow. I think that's
going
to play out this season. Because of what's happened so far this season.
So.
Yeah.
The main problem I have with the show is that the kid playing Barry Allen fucking sucks.
He's really not.
He's terrible.
He's not good. He's too, like...
Like, they're like, hey, act like a nerd, and his idea of acting like a nerd is just moving his neck a lot when he talks.
It's like he watched The Amazing Spider-Man and got all of his lessons from that.
Yeah, it's like, he's like the cheap fucking knockoff version of Andrew Garfield. Like, that's literally it. And not just because he looks like a 37-year-old man with the body of a 12-year-old.
Yeah.
Like,
well, they make mention of that in the show, too.
One
of the cops says, you still look like you're 12.
Yeah, I mean...
He's got that face, but...
He's the oldest-looking young guy I've ever seen.
He looks like Joel Grey, and I... he looks just like him.
Yeah, Jay sent me a picture.
There's a specific pair of glasses that I saw, like, 3 months ago, and I was like, holy shit, it looks like Joel Grey from those fucking Super Focus commercials. Like, exactly like it. I've been holding that back for a while.
Joel Grey's the announcer in Cabaret for everyone playing at home.
Yes, yes. He's a very famous Broadway actor. Like, he's in a lot of shit.
Here's my thing about the show. So, I started watching Arrow this summer and quickly binged it all because I really enjoyed it a lot. And I've watched the first two episodes now of Arrow, as well as the first two episodes of Flash. The way that they incorporated Barry Allen in season two of Arrow, and that whole backdoor pilot episode was fine. Where I think Arrow right now is succeeding and where Flash isn't, is that Arrow, while it is cheesy in some points, he still hasn't incorporated, like, the fact that he hasn't fought like a villain with superpowers. All the people he's been fighting have either, like, the most superpowered he got was Deathstroke when he got like enhanced strength from this serum stuff. But there hasn't been like a true like supervillain. Like in the first episode of Arrow, he fights that guy that controlled of the Flash. He fights that guy that has
Weather Wizard.
The Weather Wizard, yeah.
Apparently, so, it's not like the Weather Wizard, and they're going to do the...
Well, that's probably Weather Wizard 1, and the brother will be the actual Weather Wizard.
Well, that's how it is
in the comics.
It's consistent. His brother dies when he discovers how to control the weather.
Right.
Mark's going to find a way to make a wand. But it's not going to be a wand. It's going to be a gun, probably, just because that's what this show is.
Oh, is it they all have guns?
Everyone's going to shoot stuff.
Would you...
Oh, come on! But you know they're going to, because they already have Captain Cold and Heat Wave.
And Mirror Master.
Yeah, Mirror. Yeah, they're all going to have guns. Because they're not going to have the one guy with a wand.
You don't
okay,
know.
Okay, anyway.
Maybe it'll be a suit.
Let me get back to my point.
Oh, gauntlets. Oh, that's actually better. That's funny.
Let me get back to my point. So, whereas Arrow, I think, succeeds in the fact that it is, and I hate to say this in a world where we've seen the Christopher Nolan trilogy, is Arrow is more grounded, whereas Flash can have all the superpowers, and if they keep them separate, I think it might work, but they can't cross over too much.
Cool. Well, there's going to be some crossover, but also...
Dude, that will be sweeps week.
Yeah, but you also got to get it, too. Arrow's had 3 seasons to hammer down what it needs to.
That's true. That's very
and
true.
I think that the Flash
but
will
they
do
also fun. Have 3 years of prior TV production experience for a DC character in order to make it function.
Flash functions. It functions.
It functions.
Yeah, it functions. Yeah, I mean, I
mean, these shoes function. They ain't great shoes.
Well, I'm just saying, give it some time because
I
do
crappy Walmart Velcro shoes that I wear.
Your Tom Brevoort shoes.
My Tom Brevoort shoes. Yes.
I mean, I feel like it's got some potential. I enjoyed it.
That was one of the best things ever.
So,
like I said, I enjoyed it too, but I still like Arrow better. But then again, that might be because it's had 3 years to establish.
I mean, you like Arrow better, right?
I'm not going to say that because I've only seen the first season of Arrow, and it was problematic to me that he killed everybody, and then Jamie.
Well, that's what this show
on here.
And then this show is the same thing.
A cop shot a bank robber.
Yeah, but I'm saying the writers are killing it. Like all of them are just going to be dead.
Well,
they already killed Multiplex. Like second, sorry, spoilers. It just happens.
It is.
It just happens.
Yeah, how does he get knocked out the window?
He like runs or something towards him, and then Flash moves out of the way because it's quick. And then
now, okay,
Flash is like,
here's my thing.
He only holds on to him. He doesn't use his speed to get him up.
My guess is that fucking Professor Zoom's been saving them right before they die, and putting them in a pocket universe.
Okay, that would be hilarious if he like scooped them up.
Yep.
And put like fake bodies there,
except for Doohickey, except for the first Weather Wizard, because that actually fits with the story. But you know, like mm-hmm. with some of them that they think they're dead, mm-hmm. he's just
right. Yeah, it's so goofy.
But the ending of every episode is going to be that like Hunter Zolomon gets out of his wheelchair and does something evil.
What's his name on this? Wells, his fake name on this.
Yeah.
Yeah, Hunter Wells or something.
Yeah, it's just Dr. Wells. Zoltman's going to be his name. It's just going to... I mean, we knew it when we saw a picture. We talked about it in here.
But boy, Eddie Thawne's a son of a bitch.
I mean, is he?
He's a cocky son of a... I mean...
Hey, he's a fucking creep for beating his partner's daughter.
But that's... Like, well, that's what I'm saying,
like,
but...
You know, 43 years old, and she's like 20.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way...
That's weird.
I did love that somehow or another Linda Park is... you know, announcing on nightly news.
So, I mean, like, she's going to be like a gilf to Wally.
Unless Wally just grows really quick.
Yeah, well, maybe.
But yeah, maybe. I thought that was kind of hilarious. This is Linda Park at the set. And I'm like, and she didn't look old, but but she also, like, did not look like she was a 12-year-old.
I'm sure Wally is going to be, like...
New 52 Wally.
Well, no, because he's like a 16-year-old there. He's an edgy 16-year-old kid who
does
street tagging
and
stuff.
Yeah.
Which I don't know how that's worked out so far, if he has powers yet or whatever.
I don't either.
It was funny.
He
has Horseshoe
powers.
Didn't
powers.
Realize that Wally was not Kid Flash in the new Teen Titans series, New 52 one. He's like, who is that? And I'm like, it's Impulse. And he's like, really? And I'm like, yeah. Like, he's like, but I've read that book. And I was like, I haven't, but I know that.
Yeah, jeez.
Been Kid Flash for like a decade.
Fuck yeah.
Like,
longer
well,
than
Wally?
That
and I was
almost.
Like, he's like, where's Wally? And I'm like, he's in the Flash book. And he's like, he is? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, what's he doing there? And I was like, as far as I know, like,
just
nothing.
Walking around. Being
doing
edgy.
Street graffiti.
He's being edgy.
Yeah.
Bombing around.
Not like in A Man Called Nova number 19 when Wally West is walking around with Richard Rider.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean,
like,
I have to at least see like Captain Cold show up because the it looks so stupid.
Oh, where he just looks like a junior.
It's a guy in a jacket.
Robocop.
It's a guy in a jacket. I love it. It's just so stupid. I don't love it, but I love making fun of it.
Dude, they were never going to do the Eskimo thing on a TV
show. Oh, no, there's no way.
Which they might as well, because that might actually end up coming off better.
I mean, on the old show, they had...
It's this dumb line where it's, like, really embarrassed by the fact that it's like, oh, God, fuck, the Silver Age, shit.
Oh, yeah.
But they still don't have, like, you know, like, the writing skill or, like, especially this, like...
They just had staff writers in the CW, like, from Starcross. They put them on here. Like, I've seen Star... Like, all those shows from last season I watched, like, they're fucking wretched. Like, it's the worst...
Even the 100?
...piece of fucking shit you've ever seen.
Not the 99. It's the 100.
It's all terrible. And this is pretty much, like, it is, you know, it's on the quality level of them, so I'm pretty much numbed out to, like, how shitty this can be. It's all written terribly. But, I mean, there's, like, a, you know, Jeff Johns is still in the back writing an outline. I don't know. I mean, Barry's, like, they make every reference they can to the word run, which is...
I mean, I like the setup of him having, like, a crew at Star Labs. I like that he has people who know who he is.
See, I don't... Yeah, I
especially
like that.
That the dad figure knows who he is and figured it out immediately because he's a retard and stands behind a dumpster without his mask on in the second fucking episode.
All of that, man.
Oops, I forgot my clothes. I guess I should just go steal clothes.
Let's
out of
go steal these clothes.
It took 2 seconds.
And he's got
to
the tag
here.
On. Yeah, he could run back just as easily to get, like, all of it works in the not knowing what to do with. Maybe that's supposed to be quote unquote like. What it is, he has no idea to use his power, but, like, he lets a guy die because he doesn't know that he can, like, that would be a perfect opportunity to show that he could run down the wall or to use his hands really fast to pull the guy up super quick. He doesn't do any of that. He just acts like an idiot. He can't run, like, there's a guy's about to shoot him with a gun. He just looks at him. He just stares at him with his mask off, like, what's going to happen with this? Like, shoot, like, he could shoot at him, and then Barry just runs really, because he's the fucking Flash. The whole point is he just gets
weather powers, and
he shoots a guy with a gun,
and he pulls out a gun. It's like, well, I tell you, what's more dangerous than being able to strike you with lightning, or freeze you to death, or suck you into a tornado?
Shit,
or any of the other things that could happen, like a fucking earthquake or something. I don't know. Hey, I'm just going to shoot you with a pistol. He's like, well, I can handle a tornado, but this is too much. What do I do?
Good Lord.
Like, I mean, whatever. Like, really the thing that bugs me is that the kid playing the Flash just sucks. He sucks. Like, he's terrible. Like Jay said, he's like, this was a guy who went through, like, concentrated casting process.
they
auditioned multiple people.
They chose
And they
him.
Looked at him and they said, this is it. The guy. This is our guy. He's going to carry the show.
Yeah. Yep. And that's not to say, like, they had something similar to this before, right? So they may have – a lot of people have complained that he's not a great actor, and then people defend it by saying, well, he was already on Arrow, so they want to keep the consistency. I call fucking bullshit to that because on Smallville they had Aquaman show up, and then when they did an Aquaman pilot, they fucking recast him.
And you notice it didn't work.
Yeah, it didn't work. They didn't put the pilot in the air.
Yeah, I mean –
I mean, they don't care. This, like, executives are like, yeah, this is the guy to carry,
like,
the show.
Like, it does nothing at all to the credit of Barry as a character. And
I don't know who he
this
is.
This weird definition of, like, trying to make him young and hip and cool, but at the same time making him, like, bland and boring and lame. Like, there was that joke that Dan Slott said everyone used to make in the 1960s, how to tell the difference between, like...
If they're all
the
on
DC
a bus...
characters and the Marvel characters. It's like if the Marvel characters drove through the bus in the dark... And they all said different things. You could know who was who. If it was the DC characters, you'd be like, who said that?
Which, you know, I don't know. But I don't necessarily agree with that, but a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, it was an old
it's
thing.
It's an old
especially
thing.
Especially because they're talking about a bus traveling.
Yeah, it's a bus, right?
No, buses, who uses those?
Who uses a bus? What's in the bus?
Seriously.
It's ridiculous.
What you referenced.
speaking of references, so they... Killer Frost or whatever, she says her boyfriend died, and then the second episode she's like, my boyfriend named Ronnie.
Yeah, Ronnie Raymond. <Okay. laughs>
So I don't know if this is a fucking Firestorm show or if it's Flash. I can't tell yet, but there seem to be more references to Firestorm so far than anything involving the Flash.
Really?
Yes.
Were they visual references?
I mean, there's like three characters.
I'm not going to lie. About 20 minutes of that first episode, I was like, all right, fuck this. I'm turning on Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
So I was playing the 3DS while I was watching it.
Well, they're to cast...
I mean, it's pretty mindless.
They were to cast Martin Stein in it. And
yeah, it's going to be Victor Garber. He's
Victor, and I, which is great, just because I love Victor Garber and I want him to get work. It's just, you know...
Why isn't he on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. showing Coulson how to be a cool old guy secret agent? Because they way fucking struggle with that.
It was just disappointing when, you know, William Sadler shows up. He's one of my favorite actors.
Yeah, I know. I was like, oh, cool, William Sadler.
Yeah, right?
In this
it's exact. And I didn't want to say a word because I wanted you to feel the same amount of disappointment.
Who's William Sadler again?
He was the president in Iron Man 3.
He was also
He
was also Death in Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey.
Yes, he was. Oh, I love that.
He's in Shawshank Redemption.
He's
in everything.
Yeah. One of the best characters in Shawshank Redemption because he wants his Hank Williams. I mean, I love him. Demon Knight. Tales from the Crypt, Demon Knight.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love him. I'm always excited when I see him because he usually plays like small parts in a lot of things. So I'm always excited to see him in anything. I just love him. So when he was, you know.
He's Simon Stagg.
That's awesome. It's just,
I was like, oh, that's cool. They even dressed him in purple.
Yeah, yeah.
They gave him the weird Simon Stagg hair.
Yeah.
And Java's in the episode.
It's just.
But Java's just like a generic black
guy.
That's
true, yeah.
Who dies.
Yep. Well, you know.
You're like, Java was killed.
Do everything here in this to kill people. So. Yeah, it's
but
a show.
But then again,
right?
Like the real version of Java, they would never put on a TV show. It wasn't Justice League.
So we're building to a crisis in 10 years.
Yeah, and here's the thing, is it's like, if you're going to divorce this from, like, whatever it's supposed to be based on in a way that modernizes it, do it completely and don't, like, just, like, try to have it half and half. Like, it's very much a you can't have it both ways thing. Like, S.H.I.E.L.D. cannot be, like, an entire episode of them just hanging out in front of a computer. It's fucking boring. Whew. You know? Or where they're just stuck on the plane and the ghost is there. Like, remember that one? How it's like the worst episode of the series?
That was the episode that I was like, I quit forever. That episode, I was like, that's it. I'm done. I'm not watching anything else from this show. It broke me. I might get broken on The Flash. So far, I've trying to commit.
I mean, it sounds like I'm being overly harsh on it, but I mean, really, at the core of it, it's just an average show. It's just I don't.
Yeah, it's just a show.
Patience for like something of this type to be average, because like if you let stuff slip with being average, and that just means anything can get away with being average.
They picked substandard actors in the most case. Like they didn't do a thorough casting process. I know people say like it's TV. It doesn't matter what acting is. Well, I mean, that's not all that true.
I mean,
I like Jesse L. Martin
because I mean,
who's that?
He's
Is he Vibe?
The dad figure.
He's Ira.
Oh, okay. He's his adoptive dad, Mr. West.
Yeah,
who,
yeah the police.
I can't remember.
Is he called Ira
no,
West?
No, no, no. He's Frank?
Joe West. Yeah, yeah. Sorry.
Ira's the grandfather.
Yeah.
Ira would be Joe's dad.
Yeah. He's like the one thing I recognized as new other than, you know, him hanging out with Vibe and maybe Killer Frost in the future, which I don't mind seeing Danielle Pennebaker at all. Trust me. I like her a lot. But I don't know, like, this was, and part of this is like, I guess, mental backlash on my part, because I was actually like told, like, you're missing out, this is a great show, by like, I mean, Jordan was like way into this. He's like, it's great, what the hell are you doing watching Gotham? This is way better than Gotham.
I better watch the first episode of Gotham.
Gotham has gotten better every episode.
I think it has remained at approximately the same level of shit, but I haven't watched the fourth episode.
I don't care about Gotham.
The Balloon Man episode, however, was incredible because of where Donald Logue was like, he was like, I'll show you how to get names on the street, Jim, or whatever. So they go out and like they're playing like this swag, like 70s music while he's holding his hat and like dancing like he's fucking Thomas O'Malley and the Aristocats or something.
This is a lot.
Talking to these fucking hookers.
You're making all this up.
No, I'm fucking serious.
Oh, God.
Like, it's like, you know, like,
yeah,
like you're trying to do like this fucking hip 70s thing and it's just horrifyingly dumb.
Oh man, that sounds great.
Yeah, oh my gosh. Like, like that's the thing, is like S.H.I.E.L.D. tried to go full on serious with like connecting to like everything else. Gotham is totally divorced and knows it's retarded and has to go to no fucking effort and just will never be good and is fine with that. Flash is right in between those two.
Flash kind of knows it's dumb, but doesn't want to admit it.
Like, S.H.I.E.L.D., at least they're trying.
Yeah.
Gotham, they're not.
Right.
The Flash is half-assing between those two extremes.
Yeah. Like the two fingers on the asshole in Michael Hyde.
Yeah, like, what, sure. But, you know, like, it was really, like, I don't know. Horseshoe is typically pretty honest about this stuff, I guess.
Wait, you mean Horseshoe John Horseshoe?
I do. And he said, like, you know, it was okay. I was surprised that Iris was black. How long has that been a thing? And I was like, that's a New 52 thing. And he's like, really? And I'm like, yeah.
Yep. Yep.
It was like, Molly is too.
That didn't bother me. I mean.
Oh, it didn't bother me. He was just surprised.
I do think that the...
I didn't know if the actress did the best job, but whatever.
Well,
she's not very strong.
They did not have any chemistry whatsoever.
No, they do not.
No one can... Like, the first encounter you see the two of them together, she's like, I think of you as a brother. That kills any romance anyone wants to see. Like, then everyone in the audience is like, well, who cares? She clearly is not into him. Like, and it's not even a thing where they like look
it's
at each other.
The first ticket outside on the bus out of Motown.
I mean, like, at least, like...
But
like,
you can't tell who's talking.
The only thing I can compare this to is Smallville. I could rightfully compare this to Smallville. And it's like, the first episode, you get Lana and Clark, and you... It's like, well, okay, well, let's see him fuck. We're gonna watch the show to see that.
Let's
happen.
See him fuck.
You know, like, and they, you know, and that the point is to try to keep two people apart that clearly do want each other, and not one guy that's into a chick and she has no interest in him. Like, who fucking cares? He's a douchebag. Then he's just an idiot. He's just standing around doing nothing, and she could care less. So why do we want to see him fuck? We don't.
She wants to date the really old guy.
Yeah, she wants to date the old guy who's gonna.
Well,
get...
and apparently, Flash wants to date Killer Frost.
Does he?
Yeah, there was some...
There was a little... I agree with you. There was a little bit there.
Yeah. Oh, no. They were way better together than the chick who plays Iris.
Yeah. I guess Firestorm and Flash are going to fight over a chick.
They also let her have emotions because she gets really pissed off at him.
Yeah, that's true.
Which I like that. I was like, yay, someone's telling him he's a moron. Yeah. Because, like...
I told him, though. I didn't like
it. When Grandpappy Solomon's like, well, you know, we don't really understand his powers. And you have super enthusiastic vibe kid. And she's like, no, he's being an idiot.
Yeah.
I was like, thank you for saying that.
Yeah. And then when Joe shows up and was like, who did this? It's like, for the record, I had no part of this. I didn't want this at all. I didn't like any of it. I'm not in trouble here.
Yeah, please. I'm out of here.
Yeah. This sucks. So I assume Thawne's going to get beat up by Grodd at one point. They're just going to do the.
Are there going to be two Professor Zooms?
No, they're flip. Yeah, they're flipping. Well, one will be Zoom and one will be Professor Zoom.
No, one will be Reverse Flash and one will be Professor Zoom.
Well, fair enough. Okay. Professor Zoom and the Reverse Flash.
No, Dr. Zoom.
Dr. Zoom?
Dr. Zoom. Because he's Dr. whatever.
Yeah, Dr. Wells.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, did you see the Reverse Flash costume?
Which?
Anyone see it?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see it. As was pointed out to
me... It's a yellow top and hat, and then everything else is charred. Like, it's black legs... They look.
So is this going to be on the show?
Yeah.
Yes.
Send it to me, Jace.
Is it in the episode somewhere?
No, it's just online.
Which Jordan may have said something to me about this, but like his name is Dr. Wells, like the guy who wrote The Time Machine.
The Time Machine. Yes.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Wacky.
Here you go. Please. But whatever.
And I mean, hold on. Can I go back to something too about the first episode?
Sure.
Are they just setting up the story from Flashpoint?
They're not. They're setting up the retcons that happen because of Flashpoint.
Yeah.
Okay. Where he tries to go back and save his mom. That kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. I imagine they'll probably do an episode about that. Which
Jeff Johns is a producer here, so anything that he created is going to be on the show a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what Grodd looks like. That'll be fun.
Yeah, that will be fun.
I can't wait.
I bet he's going to be a weregorilla.
That sounds like something.
Well, if a fucking giant gorilla escapes from a lab, you think they're going to be, like, reporting that.
Linda Park's on assignment. Time. Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Maybe he jumped through Hunter Zolomon's time machine.
I don't know what they're up to.
I mean, whatever.
Yep.
Like,
it's better... What is that thing that it's better to have a strong heart than fast legs? Is that what his mom says?
Okay. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, at least the old Flash show was goofy. It embraced its goofiness as...
I do like the fact that the guy that played the Flash is his dad, though.
Actually, I liked him in it. I thought he was good.
He was really good.
They had a good scene at the end until they put their hand on the glass.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, oh,
that's make you think of Billy Madison.
I like how, like, you know. Not for a second did
Joe
West believe that the dad was innocent. He's like, Barry, you're crazy. And he's been saying that for like 20 years.
Yes. Yes.
Like, no, Barry, you're crazy.
And then, yeah, Meaty was like, well, I think you're right.
He's like, you know, and then we're just going to leave him there.
Yep. And nothing we can do.
Yeah.
He's just already there. Okay.
Yeah. Well, to do that, they'd have to reveal the nature of the Flash, which, do people even know the Flash is around? Has anyone seen him do anything?
They haven't.
They're just seeing this, the red blur.
The red blur, yeah. Which is, I think, what they called Clark on Smallville?
No. He was the red blur.
He was just the blur.
The blur.
They call Barry, like, the red something or other.
Yeah.
Well, but at the end of episode 2, he says the Flash.
He does. A friend came. Yeah, a friend
that
came.
That was the end of episode 1.
I don't know. Yeah. But, like, I knew from, like, the first minute of it. It's like, all right, first, before I tell you my story, let me ask you to just believe one thing. The impossible. Possible. Because if you believe in impossible things, then oh my god! Like, take this writer out in the field and shoot them in the fucking head.
Sounds like they came from your class.
Like, you know, and like Jace was like, yeah, he's narrating that to Green Arrow, and I was like, that still doesn't make it like not fucking stupid.
I didn't say it wasn't. I wasn't defending it. Did you think?
No. Like in my head.
Okay. Like I'm not. That scene was hilarious because that's the first time I've ever seen Arrow. In anything?
Like, you know what that fucking is? It's that goddamn scene from the end of The Amazing Spider-Man where it's like, the protagonist often has, like, a father figure die in fiction.
Right.
Therefore, they can go on the hero's journey. Fuck you, Amazing Spider-Man.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
They do the same Amazing Spider-Man shit here, too.
I know.
Oh, man. Don't you dare tell my daughter about this. Sorry, Joe, you're dead.
I don't know about that. Oh, I like Joe.
He'll be. I actually like. He's probably my favorite character and actor on the show.
It's because he's already so over this shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Like he, you know, he seems to be decent. So
that pin was a family heirloom.
Right.
My father gave it to me when he died, and he uses it to pick up like dog shit in the second episode.
First episode, cow shit.
Was it?
Yeah.
What cow the fuck shit. Was the connection to that?
That's the barn that the that the brothers
he had
were
it on his shoes.
No. It was on the tires of the Mustang.
Oh, okay.
The Shelby Cobra.
Yeah. Which, why the fuck was there a Shelby Cobra in the show for like 2 seconds?
Because it was, well, because
did
he's.
Did they give them a shit ton of money or is this the producer's car?
It's one of those things. Number one, it's a fun car. Number two, it is unique in that it does have those wide treads. And I guess
at the same time, it is the worst getaway car ever because it stands out like a solar flare.
Like
I've seen
in
one of those in person in my life ever, and literally it was outside of Saul Good. All four of the people I met up with for dinner that night all said, "Hey, did you see the Shelby Cobra?" And I could hear other people at other tables talking.
Hey, Shelby Cobra. Right?
And then the guy who had it was three tables down from us, and the waiter was asking him about it. It stands out, like, you know, it's like the Tesla that's in town. Like there's only one guy with one.
Yeah, and the Mach 5.
Oh, yeah, and the dude with the Mach 5 and the dude with the mystery machine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's the show.
I mean, whatever. People, like, I'm not going to say don't watch The Flash. At the same time, like, if you ask me about it, I'm going to tell you, like, it's not good, because that's what I think.
Wait, do you like it better than S.H.I.E.L.D.?
No. I think it's a much worse show than S.H.I.E.L.D.
I don't know.
I mean,
S.H.I.E.L.D. made me quit.
I think they're different. They're just different.
I was more bored by S.H.I.E.L.D. So,
I mean, they're about equally cheesy. And trust me, I'm already rolling my eyes at this episode that's going to air a Tuesday of S.H.I.E.L.D. where, like, they're going to have Bobby Morris be like the Hydra agent accusing, Grandma Clothes of being a mole or whatever, and then she's like linking together her, like, you know, her staff or whatever, and like, you know, so all the guys, oh hey, that's Mockingbird, like all their friends or whatever. Mm-hmm. They'd be like, oh wow,
oh hey,
you know, it's like that's the director. You say that super loud in any movie where the director's in it.
Oh, M. Night Shyamalan.
Yeah, dude, like in Django Unchained, like it was like hilarious because that theater was packed and you could hear like half the fucking audience lean over to the other half and
hey,
that's Quentin Tarantino.
Cool.
See, my brother like said it best because we leaned over to me and my dad. He's like, "Wow, he got really fat." Is that all he said?
Because he did.
Oh man, it's pretty funny. It's pretty funny.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, I don't know. The Flash is probably a decent show, and I'm just being extra cruel to it. But, boy, like...
The dialogue is
awful.
It's awful. And, and I mean, obviously, that's...
The problem with S.H.I.E.L.D. is they keep introducing characters you don't fucking care about.
I don't know any of them. They're just people. Like, at least on Flash, like, they have costumes, and I can pick them out.
And they have no reason to be there. On Flash, they keep introducing characters that have a reason to be there,
yeah,
but you still
just
don't
care
about them.
Yeah, because it's written so poorly.
Like, you could write Iris out of the show. She almost wouldn't matter.
She'd matter. Like, I think...
At this point...
They did a poor job with Iris.
You could have taken Thawne out of the show, because the only thing that's there is he's supposed to be a rival with Barry, and you get zit sense of that whatsoever.
Yeah, they he's just macking on his girl. Obviously, you hate him because of that. Ooh, this guy, he's taking this girl that had no interest in Bear the entire time.
I mean, did you guys think he looked like Sting?
I don't even know who this guy is.
Yeah, I don't know. Hey.
He looks like somebody. I don't know.
He's a guy, I mean, with blonde hair.
But whatever.
I know what you mean, because he kind of looks like Constantine, and Constantine's supposed to look like Sting. But
yeah.
I know what you mean.
I don't know. Constantine's going to be fun when it airs next week.
Oh, yeah, we got to watch that, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, you excited for that, Michael?
I'll be interested to watch it.
Got to watch it. All these superhero shows. I better watch Gotham.
You going to watch Supergirl on CBS next year?
Yeah.
Michael's like, no. This is a step too far.
Well,
huh?
If it's anything like the Supergirl...
I don't care about Gotham either. I'm not going to watch it.
If it's anything like the Supergirl movie...
That's pretty much how I am with Arrow.
Like... That Supergirl movie is one of the best things I've ever seen. Like, one of my favorite things in life. I can't tell. Like, my dad didn't like anything stupid. Like, he didn't watch anything stupid. He fucking loved Supergirl, though. Like, the one, like, his one, I guess, guilty pleasure, like...
What's Supergirl?
He watched it every time it was on TV. And that was... And it's funny because when Supergirl was released on DVD, I think it was DVDreview.com... That was the standard bearer at which they reviewed every other DVD. So if they had as good picture quality, audio quality, and special features as Supergirl, that's how they rated their movies. Because that movie, because it was like a two-disc set before two-disc sets were like a thing.
Yep.
And it was packed. Like, every feature you could ever think of being in Supergirl was on that DVD.
Yep.
The audio quality was...
Commentary by Helen Slater.
The audio quality was reference copy material. Like, you could... This is stupid! They all worked because... They all work on Supergirl sucks. Like, that movie is terrible. And they worked so hard to make that a fucking great DVD set. So, if Supergirl is as good... "Quote unquote," as that movie, I would watch it every day. Because right. I can't wait. That movie was.
I don't know. I'm worried that we're going to reach critical mass for this stuff. You know.
Oh, we already have. Well, I mean, we already have.
We kind of already have in a way, just because I hear like the DC movies, and I'm like, oh my god, I'm really tired of this. Can't really, like, can't like, I don't know, like, James Cameron, put out another movie, please.
And not a bunch of fucking Avatar movies.
I miss you, Michael Mann. Make something new.
Nah.
Hey, Jean-Pierre Jeunet, what's up these days?
I think I'm okay in Michael Mann. I think he's past his point. Yeah.
Spielberg, you got that spy movie coming out soon, right?
He does.
Yeah. I don't know. Meanwhile, I'm dying to see fucking Birdman.
Hey, I think it comes out, what, in Lexington? First week of November or something like that?
Is that it?
November 7th?
Yeah, I think it is.
Okay. This smartass called me on the phone at work, and he was like, hey, you guys going to get whatever the Bill Murray movie is, St. Peter or whatever?
St. Vincent.
St. Vincent. I was like, well, it's in limited release right now, but we don't have it. And he's like, well, I just saw a commercial that said it's playing. And I was like, yep, in
we
New York and
it.
L.A., so you can go there if you'd like, but we don't have it here. He was like, well, when are you going to get it? And I was like, it depends on how much money it makes. If it makes a lot, we might get it, but really, your best bet is probably the Kentucky.
I think the Kentucky said they were going to get it. I saw it on their Facebook page.
I mean, Cinemark and Regal might get it as well. Unless it makes a shit ton of cash. Like, the only reason we got Grand Budapest Hotel was because Moonrise Kingdom made a shit ton of cash.
Yep.
And it was performing similarly. And apparently Birdman is making roughly as much money as Grand Budapest did in Limited, so.
Yeah, that's what they said.
I'm hyped for it. Did you guys see the Metacritic page? It has like 12 scores of 100.
Yes.
No fucking joke.
Yes.
It's like the Bayonetta scores. It's in four theaters, and it's made $415,000.
I forgot who put it. I saw it on Twitter, and this guy said, you know, I really hate sounding like this, but Birdman is like one of the most perfect films out there.
I can't wait to see it.
I mean, like, and it was a director that was, or an actor or something like that, that was saying, I wish I could remember who it was. Because it was somebody fairly decent, but he's like, I don't want to sound like
it wasn't the lead on The Flash.
Up my own ass, but, you know, this is like one of the most perfect films ever made. So,
I don't know. I've been very, very excited for Birdman ever since I first heard it.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, we'll see. And I'm not an Iñárritu fan at all. Like, I don't really have a strong opinion on him.
I want to watch Book of Life.
Yeah, I meant to as well.
I know. It's not getting the best reviews, but it's also
65 on Metacritic, which to me is good.
Yeah,
because critics tend to be pissy, and like most good movies are around 55 to 60.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it looks absolutely gorgeous. And
the bad review for Birdman that's not by Rex Reed, however, is super hilarious because it's like Iñárritu is a fraud.
I read it. I was like, oh my god!
I was like, you have to see that one. Like,
oh my god!
Oh man, it was good. But yeah, I'm interested in Book of Life. I would have liked to have watched Fury this weekend as well, but it's as long as Gone Girl almost, and I'm just like, yeah, that's not happening.
Mm.
Comics. Doctor Doom has been around forever.
Black Cat.
TPB.
Fantastic Four.
First appearance of Doctor Octopus. The next issue of Avengers. Cable.
Ghost Rider.
Incredible Hercules. Comics. Globo. John Burke. Moon Knight.
Mr. Hyde. The original Ghost Rider was a cowboy who had a flying horse.
Thor, God of Thunder, number 25. Comics. He hears rumors of the Lizard. Between Amazing Fantasy number 15 and Amazing Spider-Man number 1, and then Amazing Spider-Man number 1 and Amazing Spider-Man 2, and then number 2 and number 3. Comics. 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 Speaking of The Flash, let's talk about Born to Run. The very, very first arc in Mark Waid's seminal run on the character.
We were born to run.
Yeah, I had that Springsteen song going through my head the entire time.
With the cute little year one triangle on the covers.
Yeah, wacky, huh?
Back when they did that for like everything, yeah. And Justice League year one was like a year-long series.
Man. We're reading a comic from a different era, and you could definitely tell when you're reading it.
Well, because
that's definitely true.
No, I just mean just like the style of it, just everything about it. It just calls it just a completely different thing. I haven't read this story in 15 years or so. Yep. So, Chris, you're probably the most new to it.
Yes, I'm definitely the most new to it.
Right.
This is the first Flash story you've ever read?
As a solo comic, yeah. I mean, I've read The Flash and other things, but...
This is the book that brought Mark Waid to prominence. This is his run on Flash is, quote, you know, it's fabled. People talk about it all the time. It's a standard. For long runs, at least. Not just for short runs. Because it was like, good lord. His run was years. Eight years or something.
Yeah, it's like 1993 or something. Yeah. To like God. 2000.
Yeah. So.
I could very much tell that it was Mark Waid from all the Mark Waid that we've read now.
Because the narration?
Yeah, because the narration. And just generally like the tone of the voice. Mm-hmm.
It was funny reading like a new issue of Daredevil.
Right, and then reading that. Yeah.
But I enjoyed it. I liked the story. I thought that at times it did feel a little goofy. Just some of the stuff. But I mean, also, what year did this come out again?
I guess 92.
Okay, well, it makes sense.
Trying to think when Messer Loeb's left. It would have been around 91. So,
but on the whole, I enjoyed it. Like I said, it was kind of a reintroduction because I always knew that, you know, there was Barry Allen and Wally West, but I never really knew
what
the whole background of it.
What Wally West was.
Yeah. So, for me, it was nice to read it. I thought it was a fine story. I liked that it focused on, like, Wally as a kid, and he was kind of telling that story back. I enjoyed it.
It came out May 6, 1992, the first issue.
Me too. Mm-hmm.
There you go.
There you go.
Apparently.
But it did have, and I hate to use the word dated, but it did feel a little dated at times.
Yeah, like I said, it's definitely from a different era of comics.
Yeah.
Where they had that gag where they were trying to go through the wall or whatever, and they stopped to like gather all the crops for those two farmers.
My favorite, like, I love that gag so much. It's just they're just running, just pick while he's. Not even like he made a big deal about it. He just did it because he didn't even think about it. He was teaching Wally a lesson about stuff and just randomly did it because Barry is just a fucking amazing human being that would do anything for anyone. And they're just like, whoa! And their faces are awesome.
The gag with leading him there with the trail of hats. Oh, man.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Great. Because, you know, he stole the hat. It's great. It was great.
And put it on that random chick sitting in a desk.
That part, where he like sits down, where he sits Wally down, and he's like, "What did I do wrong?" And said, "No, in fact, I'm very proud of you, except that you took the policeman's hat." You know,
not cool, bro.
Not cool. You know, that's
he keeps going back to the hat too.
Exactly, it's great.
He doesn't let it go.
No, that's Barry for you, man. That's made him a great person. I love him. I love Barry. This is, you know, people often. Didn't look upon Barry Allen favorably. But Mark Waid and Jeff Johns definitely understood what made him a unique character, where a lot of people failed in that regard, like a Grant Morrison.
Burn Grant Morrison.
Well, I'm just being honest. I'm just talking honest here. He just didn't have a good grasp of Barry Allen in anything that he did.
Oh, you mean in Final Crisis?
In anything. But anyway... Michael, opinions on this Flash run? What'd you think of the coloring, as Richard did?
There was one color error where his dad comes to the bedroom and they color the dad just like
the Wally. The same. Yeah, I noticed that.
Yeah, right. I mean, there's some weird color things in there. I don't know if it had to do with like the transition from print to digital or anything, but like
it just happened.
I liked it. I mean, it was a kind of a retelling of the origin of Kid Flash and but it was a very humanistic way of retelling the origin of Kid Flash because, he runs into Ira, but B, like...
So cute.
Where he's like, he's making a joke about, bring me everything on the menu. And he's like, oh my gosh. He's like, I'm just joking, old man. Oh, wait, Grandpa.
I liked the fact that it was very... They played with the idea that it was not just a coincidence that, you know, I think that was the first time that they really started planting the seeds for the Speed Force.
Yeah, I mean, that was Mark Waid's thing.
And it wasn't a coincidence that you got struck by lightning. It happened for a reason. And that's why I always liked Wally as a legacy character, because he really did. I mean, he had... You know, he had a mentor who sacrificed himself for the good of the multiverse.
Wally was the legacy.
He was the legacy.
He was the sidekick that took up arms.
And I do feel like that by 93, a lot of people either didn't know or did not appreciate the moral compass that Barry Allen was. Because Crisis had happened almost 10 years ago.
Actually, no, it would have been like... It would have been a bit, by then, 7 or 8 years.
No, seven. Well, that's almost 10 years. I mean, and
but that relaunch brought in a lot of new readers, like New 52.
Right, and I just feel like that this was a really good way to reset the fact that, you know, why Wally was so good was because of how good of a mentor he had in Barry and also Iris.
Oh, boy, I loved Iris in
the
story.
The whole Barry made me the best Flash I could be. Iris made me the best Wally West I could
be.
That was
a good line. Excellent. I liked that a lot.
Iris is probably the best character in the story.
And
she's fantastic.
Him and Iris sitting there kind of crying over the scrapbooks. It was just a really touching story. And then you float right into Flash versus Aquaman race.
Right. Yes, that's what's great, is that next issue is awesome. Yeah.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, it's fantastic.
I recommend you read it. It's just fun.
Yeah.
I love that run. I love this run. This is one of my... the Mark Waid Flash is what made, like... I really like comics a lot, but it was like I paid attention to writers and artists way more after this.
I will say the Jeff Johns run is where I got into the Flash more.
That's a great place.
But the Jeff Johns run owed a lot to the Mark Waid
run. The Jeff Johns run is part two of Mark Waid.
Right, yeah.
90s Flash to 2000s Flash is a very cohesive title until Crisis happens.
Until Crisis, yes.
Or Final Crisis or whatever. Yeah. Where when Barry comes back, that's when everything like feels very strange.
It feels weird. And I know what they were trying to do is just like, I think as soon as...
Francis Manapaw wouldn't let them do it by having every issue be 3 months late.
Yeah, you know? And it's funny because...
No pun intended, never got any traction.
He had so much planned, and you could tell from, you know... Rebirth, but it was all stalled because they came up with the flat. Like New 52 was coming up, so
yeah, we never get to see Wally's son be a supervillain.
Oh, man, there was so much great
stuff
coming.
Remember when they were talking about the second feature that was going to be Wally or something, mm-hmm. or there was going to be a book with Wally, and then they were going to have Jesse Quick as like the backup story.
The Speed Force book was coming.
Yeah,
I was dying to
read
that.
The Speed Force book would have been so awesome. Max Mercury and Jesse Quick,
Johnny Quick,
yeah. And
Johnny Quick came back from the dead.
Yeah.
In Flash Rebirth for no reason.
I know. Fucking pissed. I love Johnny.
Jay Garrick and
Jay. Yeah, yeah. But obviously, but I mean, no,
but boy. I mean, and
that is
Bart
a big stack of abandoned ideas.
Bart was dead.
Yeah,
but
can I ask a really dumb Flash question?
Sure.
So when he found all those books that Iris was making,
the scrapbooks, yeah.
And his was the yellow color. As opposed to the red.
Kid Flash's yellow top and red bottom later.
Later, yeah.
I was about to say, because in this, he didn't have that.
Well,
I knew that it was
Kid Flash looked a lot like Impulse later.
Well, the reason was because he has a yellow, but at first, like Barry just gives him one of his other costumes and tailors it. So,
okay.
They don't have time to design, like, you know, it's the... They have time to design a brand new costume for a kid. Like, that's stupid. He just wanted to get to the story and kind of make that point, which was smart about it. They just didn't want to.
He super tailors it with super speed.
Right, super tailors at super speed. So super tailoring at super speed.
Yep.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure.
But yeah, the Impulse costume is very reminiscent of Wally's Kid Flash costume, except Wally didn't have the hair popping out, did he?
Wally's got the hair.
Yeah, Wally's
got
it popping out.
Oh, I didn't. Okay.
Up the top.
So Impulse was pretty much the exact same costume.
Impulse is Mercury crossed with Kid Flash.
Yeah, like okay, Impulse was Mark Waid making new Kid Flash.
Yeah.
So. That was time.
Yeah. And you know, again, Jeff Johns took it to Kid Flash Part 2 in Teen Titans.
Yeah.
And man. Kid Flash and Teen Titans.
Kid Flash and Teen Titans.
In the Jeff Johns Teen Titans run.
One of the big stories of the past.
Is one of the coolest characters because he gets shot in the knee,
and then
it fucks him up. And he,
Kevin Smith picture.
He reads the entire fucking
library.
San Francisco library, and earns the title Kid Flash. He moves from Impulse to Kid Flash. There,
yeah.
It was
great.
Awesome. It was awesome.
Teen Titans runs awesome. In this, I find it interesting that we just read Learning to Crawl, and this is similar in that.
Born to Run
works a lot better.
They don't divorce
themselves from like the aesthetic of the original stories were created. And anything about this that felt awkward, like the coincidence of them being in the tree while the storm was there, and like,
right.
You know, all that other stuff, like that's them like contextualizing stuff that happened in like
the
a
Silver
story
Age.
In the Silver Age,
yes.
Which, you know, putting that in a modern setting, like, you know, going back to the you can't have it both ways thing. You got to choose one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
And Learning to Crawl failed because it wouldn't pick either.
Right.
And instead tried to do them both. And this just definitely picked, like, yep, it's like the 50s.
Yep.
We're not rewriting this other than stating that, like, hey, coincidence. Or maybe it wasn't.
Right. And, you know, it was a good way to introduce, because that was a smart thing that Mark Waid did and later Jeff Johns did, is they looked at the history and found the gaps so they could use it, as opposed to, like, shoving something in. I'm not going to say, like, Clash or whatever is, like, is that. But it feels like that in the story. Whereas something like this feels like there's
it was organic.
A gap.
And, it was there. Yeah, they just never tell the story.
Yeah, something Mark can find a way to put it in. Because, I mean, the Kid Flash origin, like, wasn't this. Like, this is a whole new thing. It was way more simple. And that's why he was able to use something new in it. And it works very well. And the tone is so Silver Age. Which is probably why you say it's goofy, right?
Is this the first setup or a hint of the Speed Force?
This is.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Because Ira keeps saying it wasn't a coincidence.
Yeah, this is not a coincidence. This is the beginning of this. That Mark Waid's pitch was the Speed Force. So, yeah, this is the beginning of it. Like, Kurt Busiek's done it, the same thing, with great results before. And you see it a lot where they love the comics. And Dan Slott loves that as well. I'm not saying he doesn't.
He's done stuff that works similar to that way. Yeah, yeah. It's just Learning to Crawl was
exactly.
Not that.
It's just like you can tell this is someone that loves what.
How do I reach these kids? Spider-Man 2?
Right. Yes, yes.
I can't show them this 1960s technology. They'll laugh out of the room.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's old.
Oh my God.
Which. Like, I don't know. I think that's not giving the audience a little bit of credit. I also think it's, like, assuming that there's an audience that's reading, that's coming from Amazing Spider-Man 2 reading this.
So, how did you guys feel about Barry not revealing his identity to Wally?
I love it's that like, because I love that joke.
I don't know. Barry's a cool guy.
I know. It's
I'm Mr. Slow.
I don't want to mess up what he and Iris have. Stop playing matchmaker.
I thought, yeah, I liked it a lot.
You like that? Yeah. I love it, too. There was actually a decent amount, I remember, of complaint about Barry lying to him, which is made clear. He's just, Barry never lies to me. Barry never lied to him.
He just didn't tell him because he wanted.
But there's a specific moment that, like, Mark Waid can't rewrite history because there's a specific moment where that happens. Right? Yeah. So, but a lot of people have that feeling, Barry.
I also feel like that Barry wanted Wally to like him for who he was.
Right.
Even though he was playing it a little bit thick.
You know me.
Because he has to. Yeah. You know.
I'm getting the mail. The mail comes at 12 o'clock. Well, that's just me.
See, I thought that was pretty funny in the very first part of the Flash TV show. So why are you late, Alan? And don't tell me it's your car broke down, because you know what the problem with that excuse is? I don't have a car, sir. That's right.
That's the one. Yeah.
I thought that was a classic Barry Allen, you know, kind of goofball answer.
Yeah, but Barry wouldn't lie.
Yeah, like what they tried to do on the Flash show and it didn't work.
Oh.
Boo, hiss.
So,
it's cute the first time. I don't know.
There was a, well, that's what he was saying. Like, he said on the show that,
I do like how he apparently had the lab from Frankenstein in his office, because he has that fucking chain that opens the skylight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You see, but that's the best part of this, is like when Iris introduces, like, he's a cop. Oh, cool. Can I see your gun? It's like, well, I work in a lab. And he's like, Snoresville. This sucks.
Nerd.
Yeah, right?
he takes him there and he's like, oh, this is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Which is, I mean, it's awesome. He's like, you know, how about we go to the Flash? Like, he's a huge Flash fan. You know, you got to love that.
Well, and that's the other thing, too, is because I like that they kept that up, because Barry was a huge Jay Garrick fan growing up. Because Garrick was.
That was his favorite comic book. That's why he named himself the Flash.
Yeah, right. And then in 121, you know.
Classic.
They get to meet.
And that's just, you know.
Yeah.
That's a comic milestone. There's a lot. The Flash actually inhibits a lot of milestones of comics you don't see a lot, whether it's in terms of the form or in storytelling. But, you know, I love this. I love this. I love this story. And it's great. I love it sets up perfectly where Wally tells you how much that he loves Iris and he can't wait to see her. And you're not disappointed. Mark Waid's writes her so well. He gives stuff like cute stuff like kiddo and have fun and you know, great stuff like that. Drives him back home when he has to take the bus there. That dichotomy of showing like how little his parents had cared at that point of him, just sent him on a bus, and then she cared enough to drive him home. You know,
took 9 days to get there or something.
Well, no, I think that was him saying because he was so bored.
Yeah, he said that's what it felt like.
Yeah,
6,000 miles in 9 days.
4,000 miles in 9 days, and that was like, oh, that's just like how Flash always is, where
right?
He has to slow down to deal with everybody else, and
you know, that it's a good moment where it's. You know, he thinks his dad hates him because his dad doesn't care about it, like, at every moment of the day. And you can clearly tell that Wally's incorrect about it. And he writes it in a way where you don't hate – like, you know the dad is a good guy. He just is a little misguided.
Well, and plus they live – I mean, the way I always took it, too, is that they lived in a poorer community because that was one of the reasons that whenever Central City and Keystone merge and the
– Well, they merge because – Central City appeared out of nowhere.
No. But what I'm saying is, during that whole thing, I know during the Geoff Johns run, it's all about keeping the auto plant going because Keystone/Central is
Kansas City,
Detroit.
No,
well, no, it's meant to be like the
it is. It is the auto capital because you have to have something about it being fast,
right?
But geographically, it's
oh, of course, right? Yeah. It's the twin Kansas cities. Mm-hmm.
Because everything happens in Kansas in the DC universe.
Yeah, why not?
Well, you know, there are – I mean, a lot of people put Smallville before they said Smallville, Kansas. Smallville was in upstate New York for a long time.
It was because Metropolis.
Metropolis was supposed to be just south of New York City.
Yeah. I think it was too. So it's all right next to each other.
But But I really like –
But that was before it was shared, so what can you do?
I really
like – Then Gotham's a whole different city from New York too, right?
Well, I mean, it is now. We're talking about
to be a mix of Chicago and New York.
Yeah, we're talking about you know, a long time ago.
Yes, I think Gotham ended up whenever they did the whole thing. I think it ended up like either down Virginia, like on the peninsula of Chesapeake Bay.
I think
that's where it ended up.
Apparently, it's meant to be Jersey City now.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
Or akin to it.
There's a lot of stuff seeded in this 4-issue run.
Oh, yeah.
That is...
And it feels like...
Very organic.
If this was... Like, if you were buying this single, like...
Yeah.
Money well worth.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
It's just like it tells an entire story. And it gives you a good cliffhanger at the end that isn't just bullshit, you know?
Yes.
It's enough to keep you for the next issue.
Yep. And, I'm looking forward to rereading this Flash run and eventually the Geoff Johns run. Because, I mean, I don't know how much Wade dealt with... the Rogues as much, but I do know that.
Oh, boy. Okay. You're in for a fucking jeep.
Well, no, okay, so it really is Geoff Johns just pretty much everything Mark Waid did, just continue.
Yeah, like I said, it's Mark Waid part two.
They're very cohesive.
That's fine.
They've talked, I mean, but Mark Waid hates the mom retcon. Want everyone know that. He hates.
I don't blame him.
Yep.
It's kind of dumb.
It is.
It ruined the DC universe.
Well, speaking of kind of dumb, let's talk about Fantastic Four.
Holy shit, guys.
I want to say this.
All right.
So we read up into the annual.
There's one issue.
11 was after the annual.
Yeah.
Right. The annual is the best issue of this run.
You really?
So far.
So?
I didn't know Star City was in California.
Mm-hmm.
It is now. Sure, why not?
Now, that's not saying a lot.
Burn.
But it's the best issue of the series.
I don't know if I'm on board that train, Chris. I didn't hate it as much as Jace did.
I hate this.
I hated Sue in it because Sue is a lunatic, but they also say it's malice, which, you know, like...
Yeah, they started doing that shit, yeah.
which, you know...
Okay, fine.
That's like a psychic... being or whatever that manifested a different personality in Sue and John Byrne's run, and when she stopped being the Invisible Girl and started being the Invisible Woman. Or they stopped calling her the Invisible Girl anyway. Yeah, this whole thing with Valeria being three doesn't work for me. Because, like, anyone draws her, like, and, you know, it's, I guess it's hard to draw a kid who looks exactly three, and Tom Grummett gives it the old college try. It improved when it was revealed that the Valeria we saw who was observing everything was a robot.
No. Oh, yeah, no. I was thinking it was a projection, but no, it was a Doombot. That's right.
Yeah, which I don't know why Victor was hanging out with a Doombot of Valeria.
Because Valeria was doing shit.
Yeah, why isn't he doing it with her? Unless that was also a Doombot, and apparently it wasn't. So, I mean, I don't know. It was very odd. Like,
it's just, it's, yeah, I mean, exactly. Because it was very odd because he wanted that psych out moment. It just doesn't own.
And he's like, I have to get you safe, daughter, so I'm going to fling you an invisible bubble away from this huge fight into the middle of, like, a hostile nation.
Oh, my God.
You know, it just shows her, like, running through the streets while all these people are freaking out, running away from, like, this attack happening at Castle Doom. It was bizarre. It was a bizarre issue.
It was a bizarre issue. I feel like this was probably my least favorite of all of them. This single issue was.
Really?
Yes. I just like...
It just ultimately didn't matter, other than that she just told them to go away.
And we were talking about Doctor Doom a couple weeks ago. And
how the whole them... Who is it they defeated? Oh, Count Nefaria.
Yes.
How weird that felt and forced and just bizarre.
Oh, man. I thought it was terrible. I don't think he has a handle on any character in here. I don't think he knows anybody. He doesn't care. Doom is an afterthought. Like, he's just there to serve some kind of weird purpose.
I don't know. I like his version of the Sandman.
Okay, well, where he's like, I didn't do nothing.
Yeah, he's like, I didn't do shit.
Yeah, I'm just standing here.
Yeah.
That's fine.
I don't know. I guess the book's working for me just because they are acknowledging that someone mysteriously is pulling strings to destroy the Fantastic Four. I'm okay with that.
Pulling strings? You don't say.
Yes. You know.
Like, I mean, I know what you mean. I know what you're saying.
Almost like they're puppets. In his hands.
Yeah, and to a puppeteer of some sort.
I like...
Maybe a master?
I did think it was kind of weird because I didn't know how they were going to explain the weird Hawkeye shooting White Wingfoot. And I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot about the Hell Heroes Reborn things coming back.
Dude, that still makes no fucking sense
to me. Oh, my God.
So, well, my guess is that whenever Franklin's powers got reawoken...
Franklin brought it up! I knew it was going to happen. He fucking brought it up!
When did he bring it up?
Like, I think it was about 3 or 4 issues ago.
Oh,
like,
you mentioned something about Counter-Earth.
Yeah, I remember when I had the universe.
Well, that was the whole point of
the heroes
those,
were reborn.
Those monsters are from Counter-Earth.
God, I know.
That was in the first issue.
But they even mention
back in the Hickman run whenever Nathaniel...
I forget Counter-Earth's there sometimes.
Whenever Nathaniel woke up Franklin's powers again, that Counter-Earth essentially woke up.
That's true. They did say that.
And so, again, I like that aspect.
Fucking everything.
Because, you know, I don't know.
I know what you're like. I think one of my problems with it is they keep doing this bullshit thing over and over, and then they keep acknowledging it. It's almost like this isn't right, and someone's doing this to us. It's like, it's the fucking, like, of course it is. It's the Fantastic Four. This shit happens every day. Just get to it. Stop talking about it. It's like 9 issues of this. 10.
12, technically, because
of
the annual.
Oh, my God. 12, exactly, yeah. Like, okay, we get it. Something's happening. I know. Just do it. It's not even a way where, like, they're building anticipation towards it. They just keep telling you it's about to happen, so you're just like, well, just fucking do it already.
I mean,
do it or not.
There's some stuff you can fetch about, like in the Super Prison. I don't know how Man Bull and Man Mountain Marco having their powers restricted still make them somehow more physically formidable than the Thing. Who's
no, the Thing's powers are restricted too. They're supposed to be,
but even then, like he's made out of fucking rock.
Can I ask another question?
They're supposed to be
the same level, power level.
Why does the Thing need to take a shower?
I don't know.
Does he have stanky balls?
I'm just asking.
I actually really like that, where like they're all mean to him in the prison shower. I was like, this is hilarious.
Yeah, they're going to rape him or something. Yeah,
more stupid shit like this. I don't know about raping him, weirdo.
Like, you don't think that?
Where
come
the fuck
on.
Is your
you
mind?
See a shower in the fucking prison. No one thinks that. Everyone thinks that. That's a joke in every movie ever.
No, Jason, you're the only one.
You motherfuckers. You're all assholes.
I don't know what you're talking
and
about.
And that's apparently all you think about.
You're right. Well, okay. But maybe that's true. But
Jason, do we need to have a talk?
They take him with guns into the shower. They take him with guns pointed at him to lead him to the shower.
Yeah.
Yep.
Stupid shit.
We're here to tenderize you.
Yeah. That's not
and
a sex
the
joke.
Sandman can still use his sand powers. I don't get it. Like, it's very weird and selective.
Did he?
I thought he did when he first ran into him in the yard, didn't he?
I didn't think he did. But
I don't think he did.
Oh, well, maybe I imagined it.
Then maybe. I don't know. I don't remember.
But they don't dampen she things, so I get that she can beat the shit out of him then, because, like,
I think
two people that are equally strong, when, like, one of them has their powers reduced, yes, the other person is stronger because their powers aren't reduced. However, Man Mountain Marco and Man Bull were never strong enough to beat up the thing hardcore.
So does that mean, like, you can punch his rock and it just falls apart?
But
like,
I also don't think,
like,
I also think that that was kind of the point, was because it's Man Mountain Marco and Man Bull, they're not the sharpest tools in the shed.
I mean, I'd make an argument that he's still hurt from where She-Thing beat him up or whatever, but she popped his arm back in.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Now, her powers aren't restricted, though, right?
Correct. Nope. She is the queen of the yard.
If you guys don't mind, I have a Kinzel-like question here. You probably would know the answer to this
question.
Better than anyone else. In the Marvel Universe, definitive answer, mm-hmm. is wrestling a work? Did you ever get to find out?
As far as I know, wrestling is real in the Marvel Universe.
See, I agree with that. Me and Jason were talking about this, and I feel like that in the mainline 616 Marvel Universe, wrestling is real.
There is no professional wrestling in the Marvel Universe.
It's MMA fighting.
They're
flamboyant MMA fighting.
Like, most of the wrestlers do tend to be crooks.
Right, right.
They tend
but
to be
I thought,
villains,
like, in the original Spider-Man run, it was it real or was it fake?
Crusher Hogan is a real wrestler, and he was washed up.
That's why I'm asking. He's like,
him. When Peter, like, totally, like, made him look like a schmo, that's it. And there's actually, like, an issue of the Amazing Spider-Man. I think it's, like, number 267 or something. It's called, like, Whatever Happened to Crusher Hogan. And it shows that he's, like, a janitor at a gym.
So, like, you have to wonder, it's like, I would like to know the history of professional wrestling in the
Marvel
Universe.
But the female Furies were all wrestlers. And
right. Like, they're actually fighting, right?
They fought, but they were also criminals. Sharon Ventura was a real wrestler. And as far as I know, she was, like, a real wrestler until she became a criminal as well. I don't know why they all become criminals. It's strange.
I guess it's their stance.
Because I guess a lot of these people knew Vince McMahon. Oh!
Well, I mean, I guess Jim Barnett. If you were legitimately, like, super talented fighter or something, you'd just be like Hawkeye and hanging out with a super team.
Well, that's very true, too.
So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's for people who can't, like, you know, like, quite...
Wrestling is a work in our world.
When Superman fought Muhammad Ali, was it a
right,
work?
Right, right.
Like...
I think it's interesting. That's cool.
It hasn't really come up since Marvel 2-in-1.
The other question I have is, why is Lexington on the map of the DC Universe?
But I don't know. Like, I don't quite have, like, the virulent anger towards this book that I did, because it's finally building to something. At the same time, like, parts of it are very much not working. Like, this whole story with Reed at, like, the Super Johnny Quest Lab type thing just...
Who cares?
Feels like a fucking footnote and doesn't matter.
I'm so stupid, I can't figure out anything. Well, you can do anything you put your mind to it, Dr. Richards.
I mean, unless...
Oh, yeah. Ones.
What?
I
forgot, I'm a genius.
Yeah, what the fuck?
The giant, like, they show him going to fight the Salem 7 and the Wizard out in the middle of Chicago, and then, like, he's getting beat up, and then at the end of the beginning of the next issue, they've been defeated, and Scarlet Witch is like, well, I'm glad I could help. It gets better, bye.
No. In the end of that issue, he's summoning Doctor Strange, and Scarlet Witch shows up.
He said he told Doctor Strange he needed magical help, and he didn't know who they'd send, and they show her silhouette, and then I think the last page is her being fully unveiled. They don't actually show them beating up the Salem 7. They're just defeated.
Yeah.
In fact, you only see one of their arm in that 11th issue.
Yeah.
As they're being led away.
Oh, yeah.
It's bizarre. It's like, well, okay. I mean, this was just a setup for him to be able to talk to Scarlet Witch. I like that he has them participating in the rest of, like, the Marvel Universe. At the same time, it's very weird. Like, why did Wyatt need to go to She-Hulk for She-Hulk to be like, you know what? Yeah, it was totally shady. Guess we should do something about that, right? And then, like, you know, not Hawkeye shoots that cab driver
not
in the
Hawkeye.
Face. Well, it's... The Heroes Reborn Hawkeye, who was designed by Rob Liefeld, and had a gold costume and a mask that covered his mouth because, you know, everyone's cool when they have something covering their mouth.
He looks like Cell. He
looks like Shaft. But with Cell's mask. Cell 2.0 or whatever. Or imperfect Cell,
yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
And then Spider-Man totally comes along and chumps not Hawkeye. Initially, I thought it was the Golden Archer. I really did, because they never showed his face clearly, and I was like, oh, I got to Google this. Is that the Golden Archer? And
he's well, yeah, but they showed the little Hawkeye points.
Hey, you know, I don't know. Maybe the Squadron Supreme was in something else. Dr. Spectrum got a new costume. Really different one, too. But, you know, I don't know. I'm really excited for this to wrap up. I'm wondering if, like, the destination is going to be worth the journey, because... I don't know. The thing that definitely isn't working for me is, like, Johnny being, like, decadent and depraved, as I like those two words together.
Again.
Well, again, but also in, like, the dorkiest, cheesiest, G-rated way possible.
I'm so rich and there's so many problems.
He's sitting on a couch where he's just, like,
party.
With a chick on each shoulder, and he might be holding a bottle in one hand. Yeah. It's not like he's doing, like, you know, coke off of a stripper's ass. You're taking it too far. No, yeah. I'm not white. You're not. What was I talking about?
Like, yeah. They don't have a nihilist. They can get shit in his bathroom
or
whatever.
I'm angry. Remember that I died? Well, I don't. I wish everyone had just left it that way. It storms off and, like, you know, like.
Storms off!
The permanent rave he seems to be at.
You like that,
man? I like that.
He looks like the Raven RoboCop. Like, which, don't get me wrong, I love the Raven RoboCop.
Yep.
At the same time, like, it seems like he's been in the same party. For, like, 3 months, because, like, Ben seems like he's been in jail for a couple of weeks, and Reed's probably been gone for at least a month or two.
Hey, but his records aren't selling, so he's got to be, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, you have nobody you could call, and then, you know, Spider-Man's like, he's like, yeah, what's up with this shit? And I'm like, yay, thank you, progress. So, I don't know. I still can't recommend the book. I find it hilarious that in the panel where they announced, like, the end of the series, that which is going to be, like, I don't know, like, number
15, I think, yeah.
Oh, really?
It's February, right?
They're going to renumber it at one
point. I thought it was next summer.
And it's going to be, like, issue 656 or something.
Oh, yeah, they're renumbering it, but yeah. I mean,
I don't know how. Is it renumber at 15, maybe, and they have three more after that?
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know, but it's ending relatively soon.
Good call. I forgot about that part.
But, like... James Robinson said, he's like, yeah, I went with a different direction for this book, and yeah, it hasn't been popular. He's like, yeah, people hate this, so yeah, I'm out.
Yep. Yeah, it didn't work.
Screw you guys, I'm going home.
Experiment failed.
It's weird, it's like the total opposite of his Mon-El thing, where like a crazy amount of shit seemed to happen every issue. It's bizarre. But, you know, I don't know. Eh.
All right. That's about what you can say for this book.
Yeah, it's very eh book. You know, we're just kind of reading it to see the end at this point. It's not truly terrible, but it's terrible introduction to the characters for anyone who's unfamiliar with them. It'd be like starting to read X-Men, starting with, I don't know, X-Men number one.
Jim Lee or...
Yes, the Jim Lee.
Mm-hmm.
Or the Brian Wood.
Either. They're... I mean, I don't know. Like, when I read X-Men number one as a kid, I was like, I don't fucking get this at all. Screw this. I'm going back to Spider-Man. Why are there, like, 700 billion people on this team?
Oh my God.
Why are they just hanging out at Magneto's house? Why is Rogue running around in a swimsuit on Asteroid M when they should be fighting Magneto? Yes. Who the fuck is Exodus?
Holy shit. Exodus. Oh, my God.
Exodus.
Like, what the hell are these?
All I know is, like, his Toy Biz figure just had him... pointing the whole time.
Yeah, so...
Jesus, with his stupid cape.
So, yeah. Multiversity, what is the subtitle of this one?
Society of Superheroes.
Yeah, it's
SOS.
Fucking awesome.
I like this book a lot.
Okay.
The Society of Superheroes, Conquerors of the Counterworld.
Conquerors of the Counterworld.
So,
Journey to Earth 20, the home of the Society of Superheroes, unlike any you've seen before. It's pulp superhero action with a postmodern twist as they come face to face with their diabolical Earth 40 counterparts. Well, there you go.
So, like how Earth 1 has Earth 2 as their diabolical counterparts, and Earth 20 has to double itself.
That's not actually the book, but I like that. That's cool.
Yeah. That was a fucking awesome book.
Yeah, holy crap.
That
this was great.
That Immortal Man. That
I'm so
Immortal
pissed
Man
this is not a thing.
Okay, number one, it makes me want to go back and reread Planetary. Like, that book really had a Planetary feel to it, to me.
I liked it a lot.
Do they have the world's greatest nut shot in Planetary? Well, holy shit! I was laughing about that for like 3 minutes.
The Doctor Fate.
It's my magic against your magic. Fate! And he's like, abracadabra, and the Dr. Fate's like, bam, in the ball sack.
Dr. Fate.
He bitch slaps him with his gun butt.
Oh, my God.
Dr. Fate was awesome.
Dr. Fate was Ric Flair.
But my favorite was Immortal Man. Immortal Man was great. Andrew? Yeah. No, that was the Immortal Man.
He's called the Immortal Man. Yeah. Another guy called him Anthro.
Yeah.
I'm assuming it's supposed to be Anthro.
Well, I thought the Immortal Man and...
I guess on this
Vandal
the
Savage,
person.
Like
they're probably the same person. They call them both.
Okay, because
but
you
Grant
know
Morrison's done Anthro before. Right?
Yeah,
because he's in.
Actually, I liked 52. Al Pratt was my favorite.
Oh, he was fantastic. But
he just wears like a fucking college sweatshirt,
and
like,
he's just a hood.
And he was the only one to complete the Iron Monroe fitness training program. Yeah. Like the only one it's ever.
The atomic fist of death.
But now
he kills Blockbuster. Says. I've bought you some time, Dr. Fate, but I killed a man. My morals, Dr. Fate. What am I going to do about my principles?
Well, but that's the thing.
That's awesome.
No, I liked this because...
I loved that.
Like, because of Savage and his folks, every single one of them had to go from being a really cool, adventuresome pulp hero that never really kills people to, like, the grim and gritty pulp hero. Everybody uses their powers at the end to make a weapon. Immortal Man being the last one using the Infinity Stone to stab Savage. And I feel like that was really cool because in the end, Savage won because he turned them against what they were. And that's the whole point of that magical mystery comic book that everybody's reading and fucking up universes left and right.
That's so awesome.
I mean, it's just like you read this book.
Don't open it. It's cursed.
Forget about seven days. You got 7 fucking minutes, bitch.
It's over. You are fucked.
And Multiversity's fucking awesome.
This issue was, I loved everything about
again,
it. Again. Chris Sprouse was great. Everything looked awesome.
Grant Morrison is continuing a storyline he started in Seven Soldiers. Through Final Crisis.
Before that.
Well, no, I know, even before.
JLA.
Yeah. I mean.
There's seeds in JLA. Some guy was like, found a whole thing about it.
Yep.
Oh, yeah?
Well, yeah. I mean, because Morrison came up with the Angels, and you know, like what's his face?
Use Hawkman. That's great, Zor-El.
Zor-El, yeah.
Yes.
And Zor-El dealt with the Music of the Spheres on Prime DC. You know, like in this DC universe, and it's just fucking awesome, man. Grant Morrison, and now I'm really super excited about Nameless. Is that what it's called, Nameless?
Dude, I don't know. The hell's that?
His new book that's coming out next in February, I think, with Image, where effectively,
I think that's it, Michael.
Yeah, effectively, he's taking his optimism that, you know, comes through in all of his books, especially like in Final Crisis and stuff, you know, and throwing up against nihilism in Image. So it's going to be like one of the darkest books I've ever read in my entire life, and I cannot wait. I mean, it's Grant Morrison. I mean, I love Grant Morrison.
I don't know. I was worried about the barrier of entry to Multiversity, and so far it hasn't been there at all. It just seems like a crazy fucking wild ride.
Looks like Grant Morrison tells you everything you need to know. Like, he tells you everything you need to know to enjoy the story. You don't have to know who these characters are.
You don't need to know that Dr. Fate used to have a big black tower in the middle of a field.
Exactly. You just
now it's in the middle of the city, and that's like the coolest fucking thing.
It's awesome.
Like, when they showed that, I was like, oh!
This
so
is
cool.
Fucking
all you need right. to know is that Dr. Fate is kind of a pulpy magician guy, and he kicks people in the balls.
This is he's Doc Savage crossed with Dr.
Oh,
Fate.
Oh man, like what's great about this book is that it not only does it play off of just something just brand new and crazy, so you don't really have to. It's like if you are a longtime reader and you are aware of these people, you love it still because it's consistent. Like no matter who they are, in a different like it's not like where you travel and then Al Pratt is like. Is a stuffy old man. He's like 8 feet tall, and like he's just same guy, just a little bit different in a different universe. That's what's great about it. I love shit like that, and specifically, he just shows up and he's just a badass with a stupid fucking mask over just regular clothes. It's awesome.
Yep.
Yeah, he looks like.
And why was it the same? Almost the same thing for Dr. Manhattan.
It is the same thing.
Because he's He's the Atom. That's his carry.
Ray Palmer was the Atom.
He's the original Atom. So then,
Al Pratt. Al Pratt. Yeah.
So he had like the the giant nucleus,
the hydrogen symbol.
Yeah. So I assume it's changing just to make a little bit homage to Watchmen as well. Mm-hmm. Because they give you know, Dr. Manhattan that image to put on, and he's like, well, it's that doesn't make any sense. It should just be the hydrogen atom. That should be me. So, yeah.
Yeah, I dug it a lot. I like the pulp aspect of it. And like I say, I didn't know any of these characters.
Oh, and fucking Blackhawks.
Yeah, but
awesome.
You enjoyed it, right?
Yeah, I knew Dr. Fate. I knew who Dr. Fate was, but I'd never read anything.
The Blackhawks.
The Blackhawks versus Shiva, Lady Shiva? That was fucking great!
Classic. They show up and there's like eight women in the Blackhawks. Oh, this is great. It's already awesome. It's great. That's great.
Well, and I do think it's kind of interesting that Grant Morrison is like totally non-homogenizing all of these classic tropes. Like, you know, you had the entire Black Justice League in the first book. And you got the all-female, you know, Blackhawks and stuff like that. And, I mean, he's playing with the tropes that you know, and he's twisting them enough that you don't know where he's going to go with it, but you're along for the ride anyway because it's so fucking enjoyable.
I mean, everything in this book was awesome. It was what
really surprised. I haven't heard many people talk about this. I haven't seen many articles.
Nothing.
There's
like nothing about it.
There's a decent amount on Tumblr right now. I will say, because after the second book came out, I jumped on there, and there are a lot of people loving Multiversity on Tumblr. I mean,
I've actually met more people in person that are reading this book than I've heard about it online. Yeah. It's bizarre.
I don't really go to Reddit for comic book stuff anymore.
Why not?
I just don't. I there's no reason whatsoever.
Want Dan Slott to die, or so David tells me.
I mean, that there is a contingency like that, yeah.
I missed JMS. What happened to that guy?
Holy shit.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, that's a thing.
Go watch Babylon 5, fucker.
Yeah.
Don't. No one.
Go read his Twilight Zone book that doesn't give a shit about it.
Don't. All. No one.
But, yeah, boy, like...
This was a
There were
fucking...
two things that made me laugh out loud in the comics I read today. And I don't even remember the other one. I laughed so hard at Felix Faust getting kicked in the balls.
And that Felix Faust was awesome. Like that, the way that they kind of twisted that Felix Faust.
Dr. Faust.
Well, yeah, Dr. Faust.
No, that's what he says in the book. Call him Felix, says, it's Doctor.
Yeah, which they didn't name him until they actually started fighting, and it took me a second to realize that, oh, yeah, that's Felix Faust. Yeah. Oh, that's neat.
I love I think we all love Felix Faust in this particular room, but he's great, and he shows up, he's fucking
zombies.
Awesome.
I thought you guys would be more original than
I thought zombies is something a little more original. Oh, my God. Died laughing at that joke. I didn't want it to end when it was over. I was like,
me sad that it's only an 8-issue miniseries.
I know. Like, I want so much more.
Like, the coolest fucking issue.
Like, I hope the last four issues are 108 pages apiece.
This was great. I loved it. I was a big fan of this. I'm very happy about Multiversity.
Like,
it's worth the wait.
It's the only DC book that I'm reading.
I want
to
be an ongoing series.
This is what I want. I love it. Oh, my God. I thought it was awesome. The SOS. That's just great.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And he has that giant crystal ball.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man. They really, like, boy.
It was a joy from the beginning to end.
Yeah, like.
Awesome.
Crazy, crazy fucking book.
Highly recommended. Go buy these last two Multiversities.
Chris, did you ever read the first issue?
Yeah, I went back and read it. I liked it, but I liked the second one. What?
It wasn't this one.
I liked the second one so much more.
I think I did too.
Oh, yeah.
It was because they were black.
But that first issue, like, does drop a lot on you.
It does. There's a lot in it.
Well,
this first
issue reminded me of an epilogue of Final Crisis, is what it really felt like to me.
You don't know what level you're quite reading the book. And it's like, I think I said that, like, you know, I read that first issue of Multiversity. I don't really know a lot. I don't know if I necessarily, like, know everything that happened. But I still really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what I just read, but was really into it. This, I know exactly what I read, and I was way into
it. This is the kind of story that he intended to tell. He wanted a bunch of books that were just on different Earths and to be just
I am hyped as fuck for Thunderworld.
Like, the rest of it, Thunderworld, I cannot fucking wait for. Like, I'm after this, I'm beyond excited about
it. It's just the Planet of the Shazam people.
Yeah, it's going to be the best.
The Shazam characters.
Is it going to be part of this Multiversity thing?
Uh-huh. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, like the next issue, Multiversity, The Just, number one is the next one.
Thunderworld's going to be so high.
Are they? Is it? It's monthly, right?
Yeah, it's every month. For the next team up, the two superstars, Grant Morrison and artist Ben Oliver, take a spin around the self-obsessed Earth 16, a.k.a. Earth Me.
Yeah, Earth Me. That's right. I love that.
Oh, is that the selfie Earth?
Apparently.
Yes, yeah.
Oh, boy.
So it's this Earth. This is where Superboy Prime is from.
No, Superboy's in it. That's right.
Superboy's in it.
Yeah.
Boy. Oh, is that with the cameras or whatever?
Wait, shit.
So they're about Con-El, like, flashes in his face, I think, isn't that?
Yeah, and they mentioned Jakeem Thunder on the cover. Because his girlfriend is, like, moving on or something. I don't know. It's a marvelous issue. Like, seriously. Like,
fantastic.
Really, really great.
Worth it. Worth a read. Absolutely. Top of the stack.
Complete batshit, bonkers, nuts, crazy wild.
And not in a bad make fun of way. It was like just fun end to end. All of it was great. You care about everyone in the issue. Everyone in the issue, there are stakes everywhere. Everything's paid off.
Mm-hmm.
One issue of
I like that. It's one issue. And that's what kind of worked for me too, is that, you know.
Although I would read more. I love it.
I would read more. But
it's awesome team otherwise. It was like, fuck, what a team. This is great. I love it. I'm all in. Dr. Fate's costume looked amazing. I thought it looked awesome.
No, I seriously loved it.
Yeah, I loved it.
I can't praise it enough.
Yeah. I'm glad. Like, this perfect. This is the perfect book for Chris Sprouse as well. So, like, he, you know, this it's going to be great because he's going to be very specific about what artists do what book.
Mm-hmm.
So, if this is an indication of what he has the level to do, this is going to be phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait.
So sadly, we must leave you guys, but in the wait between episodes, there's always things for you guys to do, such as go to our website at www.planbanter.com, home of Plan Banter. You can find us on Twitter at Plan Banter, and you can email us at planbanter@gmail.com. We also have a Facebook page, facebook.com/planbanter. Go like us. And while you're liking us on there, why don't you go like Chris Kinzel Photography? And everyone be sure to check out the Twitter for Chris's photography, at Kinzel Photos. You know, if you want to listen to some music, you can find Jason's band, Clinch, at Clinch Band, and clinchmusic.com and reverbnation.com/clinch, and also facebook.com/clinch. You can also find our friends, Engineer Nerd, of tvandfilmtoys.com. You can find him on Twitter, at Engineer Nerd, and you can also listen to him on the Action Figure Blues podcast, which is found at actionfigureblues.com. You can follow them on Twitter, at AFBlues. Our friend Grey Matter Splat, at Grey Matter Splat. Our friend David, at FakeEyes22. Our friend Lemon Juice McGee, at Lemon Juice McGee. And our very special pal, Newton Gimmick, at Newton Gimmick, him of InfiniteHollywood.com, and a sometimes contributor to UnderscoopFire.com. Shazam!